It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
It is time to head back out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline Shop. Hundreds of Toyotas indoors, one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan.
All right, Woody, thank you. It's Friday. That means it's Mike Florio time from Pro Football Talk. Mike, good morning. How you doing?
Joe, I'm doing great. How are you, buddy?
Man, I am doing great. I got to tell you, now things start to get to be a lot of fun, and what a crazy week it was last week. Some of the things... Jared Goff turns the ball over five times. If somebody turns it over five times, is in five interceptions, and you're playing Houston, that's supposed to be one of the better teams in AFC, you should win by double digit, right? And all of a sudden, the Lions are so good, pitch a shutout in the second half defensively, they win that friggin' game. I don't know why I started with that, but it was just unbelievable, shaking my head. That doesn't usually happen.
Yeah, and that's the mark of a great team. Finding a way to win the games that it feels like for at least half of the game, if not more than that, they're not supposed to win. Bending the will of the football gods your way. And we've seen plenty of teams that will just kind of give up. It's not our night. It's not our day. They don't keep fighting. They don't keep pressing. Almost like Washington last night. Once they fell down 16 points, it was like they just wanted to get out of there. Hey, game's not over, guys.
Yeah.
You can still score two touchdowns and 2 two-pointers and 4's overtime. It seemed like everybody wanted to leave. I mean, you have to have an unrelenting desire to do everything that it takes to take full advantage of the remaining time on the clock to try to get more points than the other team. Forget about stats. Only one stat matters. Points scored, points allowed.
Yep.
That's it. And the Lions proved that on Sunday night.
So the Giants are 2-8, and they've got obviously problems. And then on top of that, they got to sit back and watch Saquon, who went to the Eagles, just having an unbelievable season, now over 1,100 yards, and had another unbelievable fourth quarter with running and catching the ball. Had 200-yard game overall. How bad a look is that on top of everything else, and your fan base has to have that thrown in your face?
Well, it's a horrible look, and you throw on top of it, peeling back the curtain with the Hard Knocks off-season series featuring the Giants this past summer, which just exposed the fundamental misunderstanding of the difference between the interchangeable nature of the running back position and those few guys who are rare special talents. That's where the idea that you can throw a rock and hit a running back has to take a back seat to the idea that when you have one who can elevate a team, when you have one who is so much better than the other running backs that we see, that's the guy that you need to find a way to keep. And you know, the Giants just had a bad experience with both Saquon Barkley and Daniel Jones. They originally wanted to get Barkley signed to a long-term deal and use the franchise tag on Jones because both were hitting free agency at the same time. They couldn't get the deal done with Barkley, so they pivoted to Jones, did the deal with him long-term, tagged Barkley, and that's what started this toxic train on the track, because they're still stuck with Jones at this point, and they don't have Barkley. Think about what would have happened if they would have done it the other
God.
Way.
Yeah.
They would have moved on from Jones after last year. They'd have a new quarterback this year. They'd still have Saquon Barkley, and they'd be a much different team.
Yeah, by far. No question about it. And so we got hit again. I'm going to bring it back here to South Florida, Mike, for you. Deshaun Elliott goes on a podcast, and you know, a lot of these things, especially when you're 3-6, even though you have a real nice win on Monday night against the Rams, but former Finn safety, not mentally tough, soft. The Miami culture will never win. Guys late for meetings last year. He laid it out. He didn't say any names, but he could insinuate. I'm sure some guys, especially on the defense side of the ball, weren't real excited, although really nobody came out and blasted him for it. What'd you think of those comments?
Well, hey, look, anytime it comes from somebody who was in the building and
yep.
is putting his name on it, it's got more credibility than the stuff that you hear in Sunday splash reports from unnamed sources. So I credit the guy for saying this is what happened. And Mike McDaniel is a character. He's authentic. He's real. He's genuine. But maybe he's a little too chill. Maybe you need to have a bad cop lurking around that's going to demand accountability. And maybe you need to get pissed off sometimes if this is true that guys were late for meetings. You don't need Deshaun Elliott to tell you that something's been missing from the team over the past couple of years with the fast starts and the limp to the finish line. The difference this year is the slow start might stir something, and who knows? The criticism might be taken personally by the players. Remember last year when there was a hit piece against Sean McDermott, the Bills coach, and one of the things was about some clunky reference he made to 9/11 during a training camp pep talk. And it caused the Bills to naturally, organically, and authentically rally around each other. And the next thing you know, they caught the Dolphins and won the division. So, you know, this is one of those things. Teams are always looking for something they can use as a chip on the shoulder. And a lot of times it's contrived, if not flat out made up. This is something that McDaniel could take and use to, you know, turn one win into two and two wins into three and make a late run at the playoffs. And hey, between the two alternatives, I'd rather go into the playoffs having started slowly and finishing strong than the other way around, because I'm in a better position to win in the playoffs if I've basically been in the playoffs the final month of the season.
Yeah, and listen, basically the only thing that looks open right now is that seventh spot, and you got to do a lot of winning to just get there. But I got to ask you the other thing here, and then I got a bunch of other things. But this Tyreek Hill thing, a lot of people still and a lot of writers writing about it, and that is Tyreek Hill's had over 1,700 yards each of the last two seasons in receptions. And, hey, some of the people thought he's the best player in football last year. And he is just right now an expensive decoy for this offense. They just can't. They're not throwing the ball as much down the field to him. Everything is short, in some cases behind the line of scrimmage. There's got to be a way. It's happening to other top receivers are still getting the ball. It's happening in Cincinnati. It's happening in Minnesota. Have you been surprised that Tyreek hasn't been a bigger part of the offense and his numbers have dropped off so much?
Oh, absolutely. This guy's made the Pro Bowl every year of his career. When you look at his performance this year, maybe he gets in on reputation or by other guys being injured or not interested, but this is his worst year so far. Now, as a rookie, he wasn't very involved in the offense, and he's had a dip under 1,000 yards one at a time, but he's been the most dominant, dangerous offensive weapon in football for the past 5 or 6 years. And I go to that wrist injury, Joe, and this is one of my rants. This is something that I'm the only one who seems to care about it, and I'm going to eventually be able to tell everyone I told you so when it all blows up. They're hiding this wrist injury, at least they were hiding it until this past week, and it's possible he was hiding it from them. I don't know. Some players won't get treatment at the facility. They'll do it on their own. The team doesn't have any record of him getting treatment. He doesn't say anything to the team. He just kind of suffers with it silently and takes care of it on the side. But I was stunned by the detail that Lisa Salters of ESPN gave. Then Tyreek Hill being interviewed after the game, talking openly about it. He was not on the injury report a single time for having a wrist problem. And in an age of legalized gambling, if that stuff is being hidden, it's just a matter of time before a lawyer somewhere finds a client who's been betting the Tyreek Hill unders every week on DraftKings, FanDuel, BetMGM, or wherever, and you get a class action of everyone who bet the overs on the Tyreek Hill yards, catches, and touchdown props. And they want their money back from the NFL because of the environment the NFL has created where teams can lie on the injury report and hide injuries. And it misleads bettors who end up losing money. The NFL needs to take that seriously. And so you throw that wrist injury in there, it doesn't surprise me because it sounds like it's pretty bad. If he's talking about surgery and he's got torn ligaments,
yeah,
and he used his hand, the thing that's attached to the wrist to catch passes, yeah, that would help explain why he's having a down year.
Mike, I got to be honest with you. When he was throwing all that stuff out, I was like, I'm like you. I'm like, wow, what the heck is all this stuff going? You know, like it was like, where did this come? Like it's a game. Literally, it's like it's a game time decision. I'm like, wow. I was like, well, he's gonna play there, and he ends up playing, but like, you know, not doing a lot. But to your point, you're right. It's not a it's not a good look from that standpoint. So,
well, and Joe, here's the tension for the player. I remember this happening with Antonio Cromartie years ago. He had like a fracture in his pelvis and or some hip injury or something like that. And there was tension between whatever team he was playing for and the player, because when the player's having a down year, you know, the team wants to hide all injuries, and players usually want to keep that stuff quiet. But when a player's having a down year, sometimes the player wants everyone to know why he's having a down year.
Yeah, no, you're right. I know a lot of people think like, oh, man, he's just trying to get a little attention here before the game. I don't know, and it's a great question, because you talk about something that needs surgery and you don't even have it, you know, out there on the injury report. It's, you know, it's not a good look. So let me ask you this one. Kansas City at Buffalo, man. If there's somebody finally going to get Kansas City, they were done last week. I mean, Denver set it up. They put it right where the kicker wanted it. It was short. They got some extra. They got it close. It was basically a point after a touchdown. It was so close, and it gets blocked. Now they lose their kicker, who's been a big part of their offense. Harrison Butker's on the IR. If you're ever going to get him, Kansas City at Buffalo this week, you think this is it, Mike? They finally go down, or they find another way to pull out another close game?
Well, I think if you're going to get the Chiefs, the way to do it, and it reminds me of Tebow Mania, which actually was born at a Dolphins game 13 years ago, probably this month. Down 15-0 in the fourth quarter, comes back, finds a way to win the game. Bill Belichick had it figured out. The only way to conquer Tebow Mania is to kick his ass early and not give him an opportunity in the fourth quarter to come back. Now, good luck being up 30 points against Patrick Mahomes. We've seen what happens in three Super Bowls when he's down 10 points in the second half. So I think to beat them, you've got to beat them. You can't get in a close game that could go either way, because – there's something about, I believe this to be true, about the cumulative effect of momentum from game to game, where you get into that spot late in a given game and the team that keeps finding ways to win thinks, here it comes.
Yep.
And the team that's playing them thinks, here it comes. And I think what happened on Sunday was the ultimate example of that. And the Bills are going to be thinking that. They're going to have to overcome that. And the Chiefs are going to have that knocked out of their brain. And I think that, you know, I think the Chiefs are going to find a way to win. Until somebody beats them, I'm going to assume they're going to keep finding a way to win. It's not going to be pretty, but they keep winning. And they can do three historic things this year. The all-time consecutive wins record of 21. They're at 15. The Patriots have the record from 2003-2004. They could go 20-0, and they could win three straight Super Bowls. Something that no one's ever done. Yeah. Three things that no one's ever done. They're more than halfway there. Well, at least in the regular season.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I tell you, Kansas City has officially found every possible way to win close games, because they've done it this year like we've maybe never seen before. Hey, Mike, the other game that's – I mean, we got some great games this week. It looked like – I mean, the four finalists in the AFC, the Ravens at Pittsburgh. Who do you like in this game?
Well, I always like the home team when the Ravens and the Steelers play. And there's something about Lamar Jackson at 1 o'clock versus Lamar Jackson in primetime. I think the better opportunity to get him is at 1 o'clock. I don't know why. He's struggled against the Steelers. He's 1-3. The Steelers have historically bottled up Derrick Henry. He's got, in three games, no more than 75 yards as a maximum in any one of them. They've never had to play both together, though. That's the edge the Ravens have. A couple extra days to get ready for it. But the Steelers are just rolling right now. I mean, this is classic Mike Tomlin with a better offense, with a quarterback who is – willing to trust his receivers and throw the ball even if the guy's not open. Finally, they got somebody who realizes, with George Pickens, just throw him the ball. Even if he's covered, he's not covered. Throw it to Mike Williams. You just showed up 4 days ago. You're in a jam. You're down. by 6 points. What the hell? Throw it up, and he catches it and he wins the game. It's amazing to see it, but there's a looseness to it where, and the difference between Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers, Joe, Rodgers is so consumed with completion percentage and touchdown to interception ratio. He holds the ball too long. He doesn't trust his guys, and what happens? And then with Russell Wilson, he doesn't care. He cares about winning.
Yep.
He doesn't care about how many interceptions he throws. He just wants to win the game. He doesn't care about how many incomplete passes there are. He just wants to win. And it's fun to watch. And so I think the Steelers will pull it off, but who the hell knows? I mean, and, you know, we had a great AFC game in every window with playoff contenders. And I'm not just saying this so they'll send me my paycheck this week, but the Sunday night game, Chargers and Bengals. Yep. Bengals are desperate. This is basically a playoff game for them.
They are so good. Have scored so many. I mean, they could easily have two wins against the Ravens in these shootouts, and it hasn't worked out for them. But my God, what a good 4-6 team they are right now. That's been just a fantastic story. Mike, thank you, man. I really appreciate it. Thanks for coming on. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Joe.
All right, buddy. Mike Floro from Pro Football Talk joining us this morning to talk a little bit about what a great weekend of frigging games coming up. We got a lot more coming up. Chris Perkins, Sun Sentinel Miami Dolphins columnist, going to join us. We'll talk about the Miami Dolphins next.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.